And it's time now for the latest world sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Kath Leahy. Coming up in the next 10 minutes.
Collar up back to Jekyll. Jekyll makes it tick. Wonderful finish. Left foot flew past the goalkeeper. Manchester City 6, West Ham 0.
It's a great night for the blue side of Manchester as City win again. FIFA's General Secretary says the 2022 World Cup will not take place during Qatar's summer. And after retiring from football, the former Germany and West Aston Villa midfielder Thomas Hitzlsperger reveals he's gay. Manchester City beat West Ham 6-0 in the first leg of their League Cup semi-final at the Etihad Stadium on Wednesday. Alvaro Negredo scored a hat-trick as City made it 59 goals in 15 home games this season. And watching for the BBC was Alan Green.
So another annihilation for West Ham. The second leg of this semi-final really isn't needed. Don't try to get a bet on Manchester City reaching the cup final. No bookmaker with a brain will offer you one. City hit 6. It would have been 10 if Adrian, the West Ham keeper, hadn't made some excellent saves. City, hardly under any pressure, were nevertheless very good, and there were outstanding goals. Negredo hit a superb hat-trick. Dzeko scored twice, and Yaya Toure once. West Ham were abysmal, again, even this so-called stronger lineup. How will Sam Allardyce survive this, and their away to Cardiff on Saturday?
So, contrasting fortunes for the two managers. First, the City boss Manuel Pellegrini, who didn't expect it to be such a straightforward result.
I never expected a game as easily. Normally, this team, as West Ham, they normally defend very well, so it's not easy to score them a goal. You see what happened here the last game against Crystal Palace. But I think that today we have very important individual performance, very high, so the team could do it what they do today.
Meanwhile, it was another bad night at the office for the West Ham manager, Sam Allardyce, who admitted his side never came close to getting results against City.
Even with a full squad, perhaps we probably wouldn't have won based on their form, but I don't think we'd have been beat 6-0. But the players that went out there tried their very best. They tried their hardest. Their hardest wasn't good enough. We have to accept that based on what we've got available at the moment and what Manchester City have.
Well, now to results in the rest of Europe, and he may not have been on the field for a while, but it didn't take Lionel Messi long to return to the score sheet. Messi scored twice on his first appearance in 59 days as Barcelona cruised towards the quarterfinals of the Copa del Rey with a 4-0 win over Getafe in the first leg of their last 16 tie. Well, in the Coppa Italia, Fiorentina are through to the quarterfinals after a 2-0 win over Chievo. It sets up a last eight match against either Catania or Siena. And in the French Cup, a Zlatan Ibrahimovic hat-trick helped Paris Saint-Germain to a 5-2 victory at second-tier side Brest. The win takes PSG through to the last 32. Now, the Secretary-General of FIFA, Jérôme Valk, has told a French radio station that the 2022 World Cup in Qatar won't be played during the months of June and July, the tournament's traditional time slot. More from our sports news correspondent, Richard Conway.
Back in October, FIFA's executive committee said, we're going to have a consultation period, we're going to go and consult with the TV companies, with the players, with the leagues, about when this World Cup in 2022 should be played. Now, that all came about because Sepp Blatter said it's impossible to play in Qatar in the summer months. He said it was too hot and that he wanted it moved. So we had a consultation period that was launched. That's due to report back by the end of this year, around about December time, we think. Now, today, Jérôme Valk said very clearly that it will not be played in June and July. There was always the remote possibility that this consultation period would come back and say, actually, yeah, we could play. We can still play in the summer. But I say remote, that was very likely not to happen. It was, in all probability, and will in all probability, be moved to winter months. So that's where the situation is at the moment. It's all a little bit confusing. FIFA now have come back out and said, despite what Jérôme Valk said, they are still going forward to the consultation period. It will be announced later this year. And we've also heard from Qatar 2022, their Supreme Committee. They've said this afternoon, as far as they're concerned, there's a consultation period. They will respect the outcome of that whenever it comes.
Richard Conway reporting. Now, months after retiring from football, the former Germany and Aston Villa midfielder Thomas Hitzlsperger, has revealed that he's gay. In an interview with the German magazine Die Zeit, he says that realising he was homosexual was a long and difficult process. Campaigners say many gay footballers are reluctant to come out while still playing the game because they fear being stigmatised by fans and even colleagues. Anton Hussein is an openly gay footballer playing in Sweden.
most people start thinking about what the fans would say and also the players around them, the coaches and everything. I've heard a lot of people asking me about, you know, moving out in the European leagues to play in a higher league, and that coaches or people don't want me to come over because of my sexuality. So many people, I think, will stay in the closet because people are really afraid of a negative effect of coming out.
Well, the former NBA basketball star John Amici came out in 2007. He says that football has to change.
Football is toxic, and not just for gay people. It's toxic for Asians who want to play the game. It's toxic for women who want to be executive. It's toxic for black people who want to do anything but play. It's toxic in many different ways, but football doesn't see itself as that. It sees itself as this amazing, wonderful, bold and progressive organization. As an analogy, it is the fat bloke who looks at himself in the mirror and beaming back at them is an Adonis.
The results of a police investigation into Michael Schumacher's skiing accident in the French Alps have been released. The local prosecutor in Albertville says the 7-time Formula One world champion had chosen to ski off-piste. Schumacher remains in a critical condition in a medically induced coma in a French hospital. BBC's Imogen Folk spoke to us from Albertville.
Well, what the investigative team said, I should stress this investigation is not over yet, but they do know a great deal already. And what the local prosecutor said was they have a good deal of evidence, primarily this GoPro camera that was on Michael Schumacher's ski helmet, also the interview with his teenage son who was skiing with him at the time. Now, those two pieces of evidence corroborate one another. We know that the ski pistes were well marked. We know now that Michael Schumacher chose to go off-piste between a red slope, a medium level slope, and a blue slope, an easy one. Both the video evidence and the evidence from the sun confirm that. Then when he was off-piste, at some point there, only a few meters, about 8 meters off, it appears he skied over a rock, fell forward, and then hit his head also on a rock, and this is what has caused these serious head injuries which he now has.
Finally to cricket, and the fallout continues following England's 5-0 Ashes defeat in Australia. Head coach Andy Flower has denied suggestions he gave his employers an ultimatum regarding batsman Kevin Peterson. Flower was reported to have said either the player went or he himself would resign. Clive Rice is the man who brought South African-born Peterson to England, coached him and convinced him to play international cricket for his adopted homeland. Not only does Rice believe that Peterson is being made a scapegoat for the 5-0 whitewash in Australia, he says being made a scapegoat for the 5-0 whitewash in Australia. He says he saw it coming.
The media is after him and they're looking for excuses. I said to him during the tour that I thought England were very complacent in their attitudes, just turning up and they would win the game. And he'd better get a whole lot of runs, otherwise they would blame him, just like they did to Graham Hick all those years ago, to just find an excuse for the series loss. I said to him a while ago that was the case, and he said, no, he will sort it out. You know, if it's an excuse they're looking for, they better be well sorted out. You know, if it's an excuse they're looking for, they better be careful, because then they will throw out their top player and hopefully try and pick up the pieces from there. But you want to keep your best players in there and maybe have a look at some of the other departments where people were wanting in terms of their performances.
Finally, Pakistan were dismissed for just 165 by Sri Lanka on the opening day of the second and final test in Dubai. The Sri Lankans who won the toss were themselves 57-1 at the close. That's the latest BBC Sport. Weekend.